Continuing the laws of Kashrut, we're up to the third chapter, and we had discussed that if meat absorbs a milk flavor, even if there's no milk here, once the milk flavor can be sensed in the meat, so that's prohibited. How does that work? What volume absorbs flavor? So Chazal said we have general things, and then we have spices and things that have a strong flavor. So we know that if you put a little bit of garlic or other spices, onion powder, garlic powder, pepper, so they give flavor in a lot. You could put a little bit, you know, you take a big cup of water, you put in a little bit of garlic or onion or salt or pepper, and you feel it in the cup. So we're not talking about things that are meant to give flavor. We're talking about regular food. When it comes to regular food, so Chazal said that when you have 60 times the volume of the food item, meat or milk, so then the flavor dissipates. It is no longer relevant. You can't sense it anymore. That's our general rule, that some things dissipate in less than 60, but our assumption is that the average food item, when you have shishim, that's the concept of batel b'shishim, that flavor dissipates when you have 60 times the volume. So you're cooking meat, and a drop of milk falls into the pot. So you'll call up and ask your local Orthodox rabbi a shaila. However, the concept is that if you have 60 times the volume of the milk that's spilled into the pot, so then we say the milk can't give flavor into the pot. We already know what we'll learn in the later chapters, that there's a difference between a scenario where it dripped on one piece that's jutting out of the pot, or it dripped into the pot, where our assumption is with liquids that the flavor dissipates and not with solids. But without going into all those details, our assumption is if a drop drips in, so you got to ask yourself, how did that happen? How do I make sure it doesn't happen again? But our general assumption is that the flavor dissipated and the meat is still permissible. What happens if you don't have 60 times the volume? So then the milk will give flavor into the meat, and the meat becomes prohibited, and then everything becomes prohibited. So you even have to kosher the pot. So someone called with the following question. They were making soup in a pot, and then they tossed in a chicken. They were making this pot of soup in a pot, and they said, you know what? This soup would be so good if we'd add a little bit of chicken. I have these chicken wings in the fridge or freezer. I'm just going to toss them in. So they tossed them into the pot. And a second later, they realized this is a dairy pot. So they poured out the whole contents of the pot with the chicken wings into another pot, into a meat pot. Now, what just happened? Well, let's start from A. Was the dairy pot used in the last 24 hours? They said no. Okay. How big was the dairy pot? So you think, they say, you put in a little bit of wings. The way the husband described the question, it sounded like you have this huge pot of soup. And the wife figured, I got a wing in the fridge, I'll toss it in. And you start asking yourself, how much flavor came out? Do I have 60 times the volume? This is the way the husband sounded like. So then I asked him, how big was the pot? And how much was the chicken? Turns out it's this tiny pot, and the chicken filled it up, you know, so there's nothing to talk about. So now what do I have? I have a dairy pot that's not been yomo. It hasn't been used in the last 24 hours. So the dairy pot gave out a negative flavor. It did not prohibit the chicken or the soup. But my chicken gave out flavor, and it's not batel. I didn't have 60 times the volume of the chicken. So now the chicken gave flavor into the soup, and the soup gave flavor into the walls of the pot. They have to kosher the pot, because the dairy pot absorbed flavor of chicken. If it would have been, the chicken soup is still kosher.
But that would also mean that they haven't fried onions first for making the soup.
Oh, good point. Very good. That's a very good point. Right. Do people usually fry onions first when they make soup? Sometimes, you're saying.
Fry the vegetables first.
Okay. Okay. Got to check that out. Okay. Good point. Okay. Okay. So now we move on. So if a person had this same scenario, only the pot had been used in the last 24 hours, right? Our friend calls us up and he says, the same story, only the pot has been used in the last 24 hours. So now let's start. I have a pot that's been used in the last 24 hours and I cook parv soup inside. I cook some vegetable soup. The vegetable soup draws out the milk flavor from the walls. Now my vegetable soup is chalavi. Now she tosses in the chicken. So then, what just happened? I put chicken into, right? So I have meat and milk together.
You can't even drive benefit.
Now, we assume that the pot gives out so much flavor. Who was supposed to do this experiment?
Yaakov
Schultz, right? Remind them, guys. We assume that the walls are steeped in flavor, and we always we assume that there will almost always not be 60 times the volume. It's very difficult to make a pot that will have 60 times the volume inside than the size, the walls of the pot. And that's why our assumption is that everything becomes prohibited. That's our assumption.
Do you include the handle on the pot when you're measuring it?
Okay. Finally, should we do this halacha? No. So we'll pick up here. Bezat Hashem tomorrow.